ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पद आनश्रुण्वन्नोति कात्यायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारि धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गे प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. See, yesterday what we did, the eighth anuvaka I did. So I wanted to make it very clear today what I said yesterday. The whole of eighth anuvaka has only glorification of Omkaraha. So glorification of Omkaraha implies what? The meditation upon Omkara also. So Omkara Prashamsa, Omkara Mahima is for what? Omkara Upasana Mahima. No? When you glorify Omkara, this touches the greatness of Omkara. Therefore, meditating upon that Omkara also is what now? Really great. That is what is implied by that Omkara. Glorification of that Omkara. The whole Anuvaka only glorifies Omkara. Therefore we understand the Omkara Upasam also is really important and great. So the teacher doesn't, it's implied. Therefore, may you meditate upon Omkara. That's what the teacher says. He stops. Does not really tell how to do. How to meditate upon Omkara is not said there. Shankara doesn't talk about it. Anyway, so I wanted to tell. See, Omiti Brahma. Omiti Brahma. When you say, Om itself is one word which stands for Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha the whole. Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha, when you say, Omkara stands for Virat, Omkara stands for Hiranyagarbha, Omkara also represents Ishwaraha. Unmanifest universe is also Ishwara, the subtle manifestation is Ishwara, gross manifestation also Ishwara. Therefore, we give three different names to the Lord, only Lord, as Virat, Hiranyagarbha and Ishwaraha. All the three are meditated upon Omkaraha. That is why Om iti Brahma. The Brahma Saugunam Brahma. Then, why Om iti Brahma? Why Om Ishwara is meditated upon Omkaraha? Because Om iti idam sarvam. Om iti idam sarvam, when you say, one word can indicate only one object, whereas Omkara is the one word consisting of three sounds. One monosyllabic sound indicates the whole prapancha, idam sarvam. When you say mic, only idam mic, not idam sarvam. Then sarvam means all. Therefore, idam means this. All that is here is Omkaraha. Means what now? What is here is mic. When you say that word mic indicates only one object. Idam sarvam om means what? Every object is Omkaraha. So Omkara becomes an ideal name for Ishwara the whole, which is the constitution of all the objects. And yesterday I told you, earlier we have seen the glorification of Omkara as the Omkara is the essence of all the three Vedas. But here we say Omkara, the three sounds, represents all the alphabets. possibly producible between gutter and the lips. And that is why Omkara represents all the sounds, vowels and consonants. And all the vowels and consonants represent all the words. Because any word is what? Combination, imitation of these sounds only. Therefore, all the words are nothing but sounds, these like vowels and consonants. Therefore, all the sounds represent the words, and the words represent objects. The objects represent the, all the objects represent the whole cosmos. Therefore, Omkara is equal to the whole cosmos. Therefore, Omkara is one word for all that is here in the world. Omkara is one word for all that is here. You know, Omkara stands for the whole cosmos. There is no other word which can really indicate the whole jagat. That's why Om iti idam sarvam. Om iti Brahma, Om iti idam sarvam. Thereafter, I have told you earlier also, Omkaraha, when I say Omkaraha is used as an alambanam for meditation, because such great Omkaraha is used as an alambanam for upasanam. Saguna Brahma, Sagunam Brahma, which is Ishwaraha. Therefore, upasanam is what now upasana kanda. It is used in the upasana kanda. And not only Omkaraha is used in the upasana kanda of the Veda, Omkaraha is also used in the Vedanta Shastram, Jnana Kanda of the Veda. Jnana Kanda, how is it used? In Jnana Kanda, enquiry into the meaning of Omkaraha. Omkara Artha Vicharaha. Omkarasya Arthasya Vicharaha. Omkara Artha Vicharaha. The enquiry into the meaning of the Omkara will bless one with Swarupa Jnanam, will bless one with the vision of the nature of reality, the vision of the reality. There, even though we use the word Nirguna Brahma Upasanam or Nididhyasanam, we never, of Brahman, the pure consciousness, the absolute reality is never an object of meditation. Therefore, there Omkara is, so we say, never object of meditation. Therefore, here it is not an alambanam there. Okay, support there, but you inquire into the meaning of the Omkara will bless one with the vision. And that is elaborately that how inquiry into the meaning of the word Omkara, how it blesses one with the vision of the reality, that is discussed elaborately and very clearly in Mandukya Upanishad. So Omkaraha is used in Jnana Kandaha for Nididhyasanam. So Brahman is never an object of meditation. Absolute reality is never an object of meditation. Therefore, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, even if you say, you should remember that Brahman is not an object of meditation. When you say Saguna Brahma Upasanam, there Saguna Brahma is what now? Object of meditation. And for that object of meditation, you have what? An alambanam. In Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, Brahman is not an object of meditation. It's only Swarupa Vichara. Swarupa Vichara itself is a mental activity which is called contemplation. Therefore, people get confused. Swarupa Vichara, enquiry into the Swarupam, nature of the reality. Enquiry into the meaning of the word Omkaraha. That is what? That is the contemplation which is also a mental activity. Vidhyasana. It's clear now. Whereas, when you say Sagunam Brahma Upasanam, their object of meditation is Ishvara. And then for which you have an alambanam, a symbol. Therefore, Omkara is used in Jnana Kandaha for Swarupa Vichara, for Nididhyasanam. And Omkara can be used in Upasana Kanda also as an alambanam for an ideal name for Ishvara, the whole. The same Upasanam, not only it is used in Jnana Kanda and Upasana Kanda, it is also used in karma kanda of the Vedaha. That is why the third line onwards Upanishad starts talking about the karma kanda portion. Doesn't talk about much about the karma kanda portion, how Omkaraha is also used in ritualistic portion of the Veda. Used in the Of course, any mantra japa begins with Omkaraha because it is auspicious utterance. Apart from that, we say here what? That's why how even in the Yajnashala, it's not for any big benefit. It is for academic, just to understand how Vedic meditations are. For the understanding, I'm talking about it. Okay, it may not serve great purpose. But still, it is better for you to know. You have to remember, when big rituals are performed, there we have all the people of all the four Vedas will be there. People of all the four Vedas means what? People who have studied the four Vedas. And all because one person himself might not have learned all the four Vedas. So we have people for each Veda. Like people who have studied Yajurvedaha, Rigvedaha, Yajurvedinaha, Rigvedinaha, Samavedinaha, Atharvavedinaha. When I say, they would have studied all the four Vedas. I mean people of different each Veda. People who have profound knowledge of each Veda. And so to conduct the big ritual, minimum there must be a group consisting of four priests from each Veda. To perform the rituals, there must be four people, a group of four people from each Veda would be there. So the priests of Rigveda, the head priest of the Rigveda is called Hota. The head priest of the, so one head priest and three subordinate or assistant priests will be there. Each group will have four people. One head priest, three assistant priests. The head priest of the Yajurveda is called Hota. The head priest of Rigveda is called Hota. The head priest of Yajurveda is called Adhvaryuhu. The head priest of Samaveda is called Udgata. Because Gata means singer. Geetam, song. Gata, Gayakaha. Okay, Udgata means the Samavedi. The head priest of the Samaveda group, Samaveda priest is called what now? Udgatru. Udgata, Rukaranda Shabda. So, Udgatru Ganaha, the group of priests, Samavedis, having the head priest as Udgata, is what now? Udgatru Ganaha, a group of Samavedis are called what now? Udgatru Ganaha. A group of Rigvedis is called what now? Hotru Ganaha. A group of Yajurvedis are called Advaryu Ganaha. So Advaryu Ganaha, Hotru Ganaha, Advaryu Ganaha, Advaryu Ganaha, Hotru Ganaha, Udgatru Ganaha, Udgatru Ganaha. So they all be there. So all these people, when they talk to each other, they use only Omkaraha. What about the Atharvaveda? Atharvaveda priest, okay, Atharvaveda is not directly applied in Vedic rituals. Therefore, Atharvaveda priest, usually what happens, he does not involve in the performance of rituals, but he is very much there, mainly looking into the arrangements and mainly supervising everything that is happening. Therefore, Atharvavedi is called Brahma. So, the Atharvaveda head priest, Atharvavedi Ganaha, no? called Brahma. Brahma Ganaha. Brahma Ganaha means what now? See, the word Brahma you have learnt. It means Brahma. Brahman means what now? Reality. Brahma also means Veda. Brahma means creator. Brahma also means what now? The Atharva Veda head priest is called what? Brahma. Okay? So, Brahma Ganaha. So, Brahma Ganaha, Atharvavedinaha, group of Atharvavedis. Then, Hotru Ganaha, Rigvedis. Yajurvedinaha, Vadvaryu Ganaha. Then, we have this Samavedinaha, Udgatru Ganaha. We have four Ganas. But the Atharvavedi is the one, Atharvavedi head priest, who is called Brahma. He is the one who is mainly looking after the performance of rituals. So he should know everything regarding the performance of rituals. That means, suppose when they were performing rituals, he should know any problem with any error, any mistake made anywhere, he should know. Atharvavedi should know. The Atharvavedi Brahma, the head priest of Atharvavedis, he should know. And then suppose somewhere some mistake is done, error has happened, means immediately they had to do some prayaschitta karma. They had to immediately do some prayaschitta karma. They had to do something to tackle that mistake, error. It's a prayaschitta karma. And prayaschitta karmas also vary. In keeping with the errors, suppose you missed one mantra. It's a small error, isn't it? And for which they may ask you to do 100 times extra. Like that, any small, for in keeping with the errors, number of errors, and in keeping with the problem of errors also, the prayaschitta karmas also are different. So many things are there. So all these things, this Brahma only has to look after, take care of. That means this Brahma, Atharvavedi head priest, Atharvaveda head priest, the group, no, Atharvavedi group's head priest should know all the four Vedas. He is a Chaturvedi. He is called Chaturvedi. All the Atharvavedinaha are not Chaturvedis. But actually the Atharvavedi who is there in who takes part in the performance, the ritual place, no? The place of performance of ritual, and he must be Chaturvedi. He must know all the four Vedas. So he can correct any error, anything. Otherwise, if it is done with the mistakes, then their karma will not give any phalam. All your time, energy, money, all that you have spent will be waste, utter waste, if the yajna is not performed properly as per the stipulations. Therefore, any small mistake is there, immediately he'll go and correct and we do the prayaschitta karma, so make it effective. He is Brahma. So all these priests, what the Upanishad wants to say here is, all these priests, so totally how many now? 16 priests are there. Four priests for each group, each Veda, totally 16 priests. Apart from them, who will be there? Yajamanaha and Yajamani, the husband and wife, for whose sake they do Sankalpa and Dhudi Puja, no? The worshipper, the person. So 16 plus 2, 18. These 18 only are said what now, associated with the performance of rituals. These 18 themselves are what? Time bound in nature. That's what in Mundaka Upanishad, Adrudaha, you know. Remember that? This we had talked about this. This Adruda, Ashtadasha, Avaram, we learnt it. The 18 factors involved in the performance of ritual means what? What are the 18 factors? 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4, 16 priests of 4 Vedas. Plus husband and wife, the Yajamanaha and Yajamani, 18 factors. The karma, this ritual is perfectly done, only 16 people are there. 16 plus 2, 18 people are there. The big ritual. So when they are all there, when they talk to each other, For everything they have to use only Om. For yes Om, no Om, permission Om, blessing Om, you know, request Om. For everything they have to use only Omkaraha. Acceptance also Omkaraha. That is what said here, what now? Yetad. For one line I am explaining this much, okay? Yetad anukritir. Yetad anukritihi. Anukritihi means what now? Acceptance. Anukritihi means permission. Yetad anukritihi. When some question is asked, when there is a question for acceptance, and acceptance is expressed, communicated by which word? Yes is said by what? Using Omkaraha. Yetad anukritihi. Omkara becomes expression of anukritihi, acceptance or permission. Thereafter, hasmava, ha, hasmava. These three words, prasiddhartaha, say Shankara. These three sounds, sorry, ha, sma, not words, ha, sma, and va, that means what? They talk about the how popular and how well-known prasiddham, prasiddha omkaraha is. Ha, sma, and va, no, the three sounds actually indicate the popularity or the familiarity, you know, the eminence of omkaraha. Oh, it's very well known. Hasmava, it is well known. Even in rich performance of rituals, the yagyashalas, even for expressing the acceptance or, you know, or permission also, omkaraha is used. That is what is indicated by etadanukritir hasmava. Which stops. Thereafter, apyo shravayetyashravayanti. Api also, not only it is used for expressing one's acceptance or permission, it is also used for what? Api, o shravaya, iti ashravayanti. That is said there. What does it mean? Iti ashravayanti means what now? Command. Ashravayanti means what now? They express their command. They make the priests hear. The head priest talks to his other fellow priests. For what? You know, what does he speak? That's called Ashravayanti. The head priest makes his subordinate priests hear. So the head priest commands, you know, commands his subordinate priests. Saying what? Saying Om. And for what? He says, when they offer oblations to devatas, see in performance of rituals, that is why when in pujas we have noticed, we never do anything when you do in the pujas carelessly. When you offer oblations to devatas, see this Agni Kunda, and the fire is kindled, oblations are offered into the fire. How? You have already invoked the devatas. Then you also understand what now devatas have come to accept your oblations. You visualize, imagine. Then devatas have come means, and you have to request the devatas to come and accept the oblations. Like what? When we go and invite people to come to our houses for some function or wedding or something. Okay, I have already invited people all have come here, they are all sitting here means, I have already invited them, so they know they have to come and eat here now. So I don't need to go and again call them for eating. We don't think that way. First we send the invitation, call them, in India again was okay, we had to go and tell them in person, invite them, give the invitation card, and afterwards, when they come also, please come, we have to receive them well, when they are sitting, and when the function is over, we have to go and remind everyone with request them, with all politeness, please come and have your lunch. Even the human beings are invited for food, like that means, what about the devatas? When you offer oblations, devatas come, and then again they have to tell the devatas, please come and accept the offerings. And when should they call them devatas for acceptance of food offerings? Only when everything is ready. When everything is ready. When do you go and call somebody to come to the table to eat? The guests come, they're sitting in the hall, but, you know, then once the somebody in the kitchen, when you organize everything on the dining table, then you come and invite. When the food is getting cooked, you won't ask somebody to come and sit in for lunch. Like that, here also, when the head priest tells, head priest has to tell the other priest, come on, please now invite the devatas. Tell them it is ready, food is ready, that they can accept the oblations. To tell that also, what do they say? What do they say? Om. And how should these priests should inform the devatas? Om. O Shravaya means what? Now, O means Omkaraha. Uttering Omkaraha, please make the devatas hear that the oblations are ready for acceptance. Iti Ashravayanti, a head priest inform their subordinate priests. அவங்க கூப்பிடுங்க சாப்பிடுறதுக்கு. When you say, you please tell them to come and have lunch. Actually, there are special mantras how devata should be invited. How we have people for, especially for protocols, you know. When you have to eat, the people who are very well trained to invite, how to invite, how to receive, how to, we have people specially trained. Even the star hotels, we have people. Specially trained and paid for what? Just to take care of the customer service, isn't it? Specially. Here also, there are priests who specially they have to invite, they have to chant the mantra, they have to invite devatas. Even when the head priest informs subordinate priests to inform the devatas to accept the food is ready and to ask them to come and accept the offerings, how do they say? Om. Om Shravaya. Om Shravaya. Say utter Omkara. So inform that oblations are ready for acceptance. Iti Ashravayanti. Okay? These are all how Omkara is used in the Karma Kanda of the Veda. See, Upasana part is over first. No? Again, saying. So, Upasana part is over means Omkara is used in Jnana Kanda. Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda also in Karma Kanda. That's what he want to understand. You have to differentiate the, how it is used. Omit etadanukrutir hasmava apyo shravayetya shravayanti. Thereafter he says, with the Samavedi, Yajurvedi, Rigvedi, all of them, when they begin their mantra chanting, they begin with Omkaraha. Okay. Omiti Samani Gayanti. Samani Gayanti. Omiti Gayanti. Who sing Omiti Gayanti? Who are the people who recite Sama mantras? This Udgatru Ganaha. Udgatru Ganaha. The Udgataraha. They recite Udgatru Ganaha. Samavedinaha. They recite Samaveda mantras, uttering Omkaraha, begin their chanting of Samaveda mantras with Omkaraha. Omiti Samani Gayanti, Ogum Shomiti Shastra Nishagum Santi. Next line is what now? Rigvedinaha Api, who the Rigvedinaha? Hotruganaha. The Hotaraha, the Rigvedinaha, they also, how? Recite the mantras in praise of the devatas. Shastra, how? Saying Om Shom. They also begin their mantra chanting with what? Saying Om Shom. Shankara doesn't say any explanation for Shom. He just says Om Shom iti. This Rigvedinaha Shastrani Shamsanti. So Shastram means what? Shastram literally means a weapon, a missile. A weapon which is held in the hand and used in the battle or used anywhere, you know, to for striking, is called what now? Shastram. A weapon, you know, knife, sword, etc. are shastram. The gun also can say shastram. But if it is something is thrown, you know, if it's thrown, javelin, you know, if it's thrown, is called what now?
Astram.
But here, the word shastram does not mean a weapon or missile. Please understand. Here, shastram means a Rigveda mantra, okay, a mantra chanted with the swaraha we have. A mantra chanted without the swaraha is called ashastram. A mantra chanted without the swaraha. Om Ganana Am Tva Ganapati Gum Havamahe. You have swaras. Om Ganana Am Tva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kaviyam. So, if we chant without the swaras, it's what now? Okay, like that. When do they do like that? Sometimes, during the performance of rituals, the mantras are chanted fast without the swaras. So, mantras chanted without the swara is called what? Shastram. So, shastrani means all mantras. One mantra is called shastram. Many mantras? Shastrani. Ogum shomiti shastrani shagum santi. So Rigvedinaha shastrani shagum santi. The Rigvedic priests also recite their mantras in place of the devatas. How? No? What do they chant? Mantras without swaras, they chant what? Beginning with Omkaraha. Om shom iti Rigvedinaha shastrani shamsanti. Ogum shomiti shastra nishagum santi. Om shom iti shastrani shamsanti. Om ityadvaryu pratigaram pratigrinati. So pratigaram means reply, answer. And then pratigrinati, he replies. Sometimes he replies gives permission. Pratigaram also means permission. Also he replies. Pratigaram, something was asked and for which he gives the reply. How does he reply? Saying Om. Om iti advaryuhu pratigaram pratigrinati. You can say all samavedinaha also, rugvedinaha, yajurvedinaha also recite their mantras beginning with Omkaraha. They also give what now? The Advaryu also, the head priest of the Yajurveda Ganaha also. He begins his mantra chanting, using Omkaraha. And he also what now? For any expression, he uses only Omkaraha. Omitya Dharyu Prati Garam Prati Grinati. So, Omiti Brahma Prasauti. There, as they gave the meaning, prasauti, prasute, the word literally means delivery, etc. I told you, that's one meaning. But actually, in this context, Brahma does not mean Hiranyagarbha. Brahma is the head priest of the Atharva Veda. Atharva Veda head priest is called Brahma. And Brahma also prasauti. Prasauti means what now? Actually, he commands prasauti, you know, he ajnapayati. Prasauti means what now? Ajnapayati. Ajnapayati means what now? Kattalayidugar. He commands, no, he orders. So, Brahma prasauti. Ajnapayati means he orders, commands. Come on, do this. Don't do this. Come on, do that. Like that, this Brahma, the head priest of Atharva Veda, who is the overall supervisor of everything, and how does he say, he has to find out anywhere, any mistake is there, he had to find out, he correct also. So when he says anything, whenever he orders, he commands anything, how does he do? Omiti Brahma Prasauti. Brahma, who is Brahma here? Chaturvedi, Atharva Veda, the chief priest. It's called Brahma. Why he is called Brahma? Because he is overall supervisor. And he is supposed to know all the four Vedas. And nowadays, I tell you a sad thing. Nowadays in India, we do not have Chaturvedis. There is not even one Chaturvedi is there. The one who knows all the four Vedas, we don't have Chaturvedis nowadays. Ekavedi, very difficult to find. Dvivedi, people who know two Vedas. Trivedi, Chaturvedis, we don't have. The Atharvedi priest, who the head priest of Atharvedi Gana group, who is supposed to be part of the big rituals, and he is supposed to know all the four Vedas. Nowadays, when they perform rituals in India, we don't have head touch priests. What do they do? They keep some represent like something they keep, put some akshatas and all that. They say, they also how you invoke Bhagavan in that murtis, they invoke Chaturvedi also in some form, and then they start and get the permission from him and they start. Symbolic has become. Because why? You don't have Chaturvedis anymore. Anyway, so you know that now. Brahma here means what? Please remember, the word Brahma has many meanings in different contexts. Here, Atharva Veda head priest. Atharva Vedi group head priest is called Brahma. And he also commands. He orders. He is the one supervisor, you see. Therefore, Brahma, how does he order? Om iti prasauti. Prasauti means agnapayati, anujanati is the meaning he gives. Omiti Brahma Prasauti. Omiti Brahma Prasauti. Omityagnihotramanujanati. Omityagnihotramanujanati. Again, Omiti Agnihotram Anujanati. I want you to know these things. I won't repeat this again. Today, better know this. Agnihotram Anujanati. Agnihotram is not only in the big rituals where all the 16 priests are involved, Omkara is used there. Even the simplest daily ritual to be performed by every grihastha, there also Omkara is used. He also begins his Agnihotra karma chanting Omkaraha. At least, just some information, Agnihotram is a karma to be started by agrihastha, to be performed when a person becomes a grihastha, after marriage. See, there is a karma called aupasanam. It's not important for you, but still I'm saying for information. Who knows, even Indians don't know nowadays. So, not just information. There's a particular smartha karma called aupasanam. Smriti, smartha karma is what? The ritual prescribed in the smriti is called smartha karma. There is particular smartha karma called aupasanam, which one has to begin at the time of marriage. One has to perform that ritual at the time of marriage. It's called aupasanam karma. And when the karma is performed, then this man, the young boy who gets married, and within six months time after the marriage, and he also has to start the Shrautam Karma. Shrautam Karma is what now? A Vedic ritual. Smartha Karma is a Smriti prescribed karma. Shrautam Karma is what now? Shruti prescribed karma. Vedic ritual. So the Vedic ritual, it's called Shrauta Karma, which is called Agnihotram Karma. And within 6 months of his time, after marriage, within first 6 months, and he has to do the karma, Shrauta Karma, and for which there is a ritual now to initiate this Agnihotram Karma. That is called Agni Adhanam. Agni Adhana Karma. Agni Adhana Karma is a ritual to initiate the ritual. Agnihotram karma is a daily, a simplest ritual, a nitya puja to be performed by a grihastha. And when should one start? At the time of after marriage as a householder. And to initiate the Agnihotram karma also, there is a ritual. That ritual is called what? Agni Adhanam karma. And once the Agni Adhana karma is done, and the one is initiated into the performance of Nitya Agnihotram karma, that day only he becomes a qualified, perfectly eligible grihastha, householder. And then onwards, he has to do this regularly, this Agnihotram karma. When should he stop? Never stop. When he dies, it stops by itself. When he enters sannyasa ashrama, it stops. Okay, we never ask, when does the person stop eating? When does he stop eating? Poirnu. He stops eating and drinking only when the person is no more. Similarly, Nityagnihotra puja also, what now? Nityagnihotra yajna also, it's like Nitya puja. Nitya Vedic rituals, Nitya puja is substitute for Nitya puja. Every day worship is a must. When should I stop worshipping? For Nityagnihotra karma, as he performed by a grihastha, until he enters into the sannyasa ashrama or after death. Okay, that is one thing. Anyway, don't worry about all those things. Just I want to know. You don't need to do all those things. We are not, even Indians are not doing, India people are not doing. Just for information. So you understand the seriousness of the studies, that's what I'm saying. So this is Agni Adhana Karma, makes him what now? The person who has got this initiation, the initiative ritual, Agni Adhana Karma done, and he is called Ahitagnihi. Ahitagnihi is the name. Ahitagnihi is the name given to the person who has got his initiative ritual performed. And then onwards, as Ahitagnihi, he becomes the regular performer of Agnihotram karma. Okay? So when this person, the grihastha, starts his Agnihotram karma also every day, he begins his karma how what? Omiti Agnihotram Anujanati. Look at this. Interesting, isn't it? I told you many times, Smartam Karma, Aupasanam, Shrautam Karma, Agnihotram, and the initiative ritual is called what? Agni Adhanam. And the one who has got his initiative ritual done is called Ahitagnihi. Not for okay.
So, what does he say? Not on initiation, but when he has become a grihastha after the 6 months.
No. At the time of marriage, he has to do this smartha karma called aupasanam.
What does he say after 6 months when he starts? How does he start? Because the other one is Om Iti Agni Anujanati.
Yeah, that's what I'm Agnihotram. That's what I'm saying. This person, I just gave the background. After Upasanam, and he has to start doing this Agnihotram within 6 months' time. He has to initiate. Once he initiates, 6 months' time he is given. Maximum 6 months' time. And within 6 months' time, he has to start doing this Agnihotram karma. Then every day it has to be done. Every day when he does this Agnihotram karma, he has to begin his karma saying Omkara. That's what he says. And before Agnihotram also, he can't just suddenly start like that. One day, there's an initiative ritual. And that ritual has to be done within 6 months' time. Once it's initiated into the performance of Agnihotram, and he should never be stopped. That's called Agni Adhanam karma. This Agnihotri also is called Nitya Agnihotri. It's a daily worship, and then one has to offer milk. Main offering in Agnihotram karma is milk. And when he offers milk, before offering the milk, what does he say? Om. But Om iti Agnihotram Anujanati. He offers the oblation milk also what? Saying Omkaraha. Anyway, yesterday I didn't tell you all these things, that's why I wanted to complete it today. I was little. Okay, then Omiti Brahmana Pravakshanaha. Omiti Brahmana Pravakshanaha. Then Omiti Brahmanaha Pravakshanaha. In this context, Upanishad has talked about Grihastha. Now it's going to talk about what now? Brahmanaha, I told you, Brahmanaha, the word has many meanings. The word Brahmanaha, the one who revels in the knowledge of Brahman, one who has the luxury of reveling in the knowledge of Brahman is called Brahmanaha. A wise person is a Brahmanaha. The most mature person is Brahmanaha. One meaning. Another word Brahmanaha means what now? One can be by birth a Brahmana, by karma one can be a Brahmana, karma Brahmanaha, you know, by guna Brahmanaha, by guna one can be a Brahmana also. That's just a different word. Otherwise, a Brahmanaha is a highly dispassionate person who is totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. You know, a karma yogi or a sannyasi also can say Brahmanaha. A wise person is a Brahmana. And then Brahmanaha, Mundaka Upanishad says, the one who is highly mature, discovers dispassion, thereby commits himself to the study of Shastram, pursuit of knowledge, he is a Brahmana. Isn't it? One who learns one's own life's experience is a Brahmana. And one more word Brahmanaha means a student, a Vedic student is also called Brahmanaha. Any Vedic student is a Brahmanaha. A Brahmachari, a student of Veda, a Brahmachari, young Brahmachari, who is studying Veda is also called Brahmanaha. In that context, Brahma means Veda. Brahma means Veda, and Brahmanaha is what? The one who studies and lives. Okay? One who studies and Veda, they follows strictly the disciplines enjoined by the Veda, is also called what now? Brahmanaha. So here this Brahmanaha, in this context, the word Brahmanaha means Vedic student. Listen, in this context, the word Brahmanaha means a Vedic student. Today, why all of you seem to be a little tired? Because yesterday, I think because of holiday, in a holiday mood, but I don't know. Anyway, because of sun, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, because I want to make these things very clear, because yesterday I didn't tell you all these things. Okay, so Brahmanaha here means what? In this context, here the word Brahmanaha means a student of Veda. Vaidika, a Vedic student. Vaidika means anyone who lives the life of Veda, follows the Vedic lifestyle is called what? Lives a one who follows Vedic teaching is called Vaidika. But here, Brahmanaha is a Vaidika means a student of Veda. Brahmanaha, and who is he? He is Pravakshan. Pravakshan means one who studies Veda, one who wants to study the Veda. See, study Veda means again, we had the two things are there, studying of Veda means. See, Veda Adhyayanam means Vedic chanting. Veda Shastra Mimamsa means not mechanically chanting the Veda alone, but also understanding the meaning of the Veda mantras. Analytical study of Veda mantras is called Mimamsa. Adhyayanam means just the chanting. Adhyayanam. 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 Veda Adhyayanam means Vedic chanting. Study of the Vedic chanting is called Veda Adhyayanam. And Mimamsa is what now? The analytical study of the Veda mantras. So when children are very young, when they join the Veda Patashala, when they study Veda mantras, if you ask them, Adhyayana means just memorizing the mantras. In Vedic chanting, chanting means what? Vedic chanting means memorizing the mantras. Just keep repeatedly listening, 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 chanting again and again, you get everything memorized. Memorizing the Veda mantras is called Vedic, Veda Adhyayana. But Mimamsa means what? No, understanding all the meanings, everything. The school, the children, young boys who are in Veda Parshala, they know the Veda mantras. They chant the mantras, but they don't know the meaning. So the truth, okay, so the thorough study of the attainment of Vedic wisdom means what? One must have done Veda Adhyayanam and also Mimamsa study, Hadid Mimamsa also. Understand? So here, this student who wants to study, who wants to understand, who wants to have this knowledge of Veda, Vedic wisdom, such person is called Pravakshan. Pravakshan means what now? With the desire to study, with the desire to understand, grasp, and with an intention of studying the Veda, when Brahmanaha begins, no, intention, aha, he says, with an intention to absorb, understand, study the Veda, pravakshana, aha, before he begins his studies, the student also says, aha, he said, what does he say? Aha means said. The student says, he says, Om. That is Om. And what does he say, saying Om? He is praying. What does he pray? Oh, no? Brahma Upapnavani. Brahma Upapnavani iti. The Vedic student says thus. Aha iti means thus. What does he say? Endra solhirar. Brahma upapnavani. May I, upapnavani means what? May I attain. May I attain, may I assimilate, may I grasp. That's the meaning for the word upapnavani. Upa is a prefix, also is a, opposite. Upa. Upapnavani. Is our prefix. Upapnavani. May I Tamil adaivenaha. No. What? May I attain means what? May I grasp? May I attain? May I understand? May I assimilate? What? Brahma Veda. Brahma means Veda. So Brahma Upapnavani means may I grasp the Veda. May I understand the Veda. May I attain the Vedic wisdom. Brahma Upapnavani. May I attain Vedic wisdom. Brahmana Vedate Adevenaha. May attain what now? Brahma Upapnavani. Who says Brahmanaha? How does he say? With what intention? With an intention of studying, understanding, grasping the Veda, this person, the Brahmanaha, the student, also begins his study saying Omkaraha, saying what? May attain Vedic wisdom, may attain the Veda thoroughly. How? May attain the Vedic knowledge of chanting, chanting knowledge, Veda Adhyena Jnanam, Mimamsa Jnanam. May I have, simply what? May I have thorough Vedic wisdom is what? O Lord, may I have this knowledge of chanting, knowledge of the analytical study, knowledge of the mantras also, meaning of the mantras also. He asked for both. So how does he begin? How does he begin his study? Om. All Omkara praise thaniki. All Om praising of praise of Omkara. Om iti Brahmana pravakshanaha. Then what now? He says, Brahmopa apnavaniti. So Brahma upapnavani. Upapnavani, karavani, gacchani, pashyani means what? All may I, parpenaha, sevenaha, varvenaha. When you say that, may I get that, may I go, gacchani, may I go, pashyani, may I see. Like that, upapnavani means what now? May I attain, may I grasp, may I attain what? Shankara says, grahana, that's why I use the word. May I attain this Vedic wisdom. Brahmaivopapnoti. Brahmaivopapnoti. So Brahma eva upapnoti. Then what have we got to put the eva last? Brahma upapnoti eva. That's a student who begins with his study of Veda, uttering Omkaraha, saying, may I have the Vedic vision. May I have the Vedic wisdom. He does, such a person, certainly, definitely, he attains the Vedic wisdom. Brahma upapnoti eva. Yeah, definitely, without fail, he attains the Vedic wisdom. Brahma upapnoti eva. Brahma there means what? Veda. Vedatai avan adihiran. Veda aripati arivavan adihiran. Who attains? The student. How does he attain? All by saying, Omkara he begins. So it's all glorification of Omkara only. So what is implied here? Therefore, may you all, pranavam upasita, may you all meditate upon such great Omkara is implied. May you meditate upon Omkara. Is it clear now? In fact, the easiest method, I tell you, our Swamiji also says this, Paramahansa also says this, whenever, nowadays, very difficult to get priests, very difficult to do things, if you want to have anything cleansed, no, just take clean water and put it in front of Bhagavan and chant Om, Om, Om and sprinkle everywhere, it becomes cleansed. Because Om is so good. So, because Omkara is what now? Know what Omkara is now. But you have to remember one thing. The Om itself, Om by itself, mere Omkara should be chanted, or one should, japam of Omkara should be done only by a sannyasi. Other than sannyasis, should chant Omkara along with something else. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, or Om Sarana Bhavaya, Om Ganeshaya. Mere Omkara should not be chanted by other people. Omkara should be chanted only by sannyasis. In fact, the Agnihotris or even the Grihasthas, when they go from an ashrama to other ashramas, the Gayatri Mantra is the mantra japa when one starts from the day of Upanayanam. When the child gets initiated into the Upanayanam, Ayagyapuita karma is done, from that day onwards, the boy should start chanting Gayatri Mantra Japa. And three times, Pratha Sandhya, Sayam Sandhya, Madhyanika Sandhya. He should never stop Gayatri Japa, he should not stop at all. All the ashramas, he should be chanting Gayatri Mantra. Only when a person becomes sannyasa, when he enters into sannyasa ashrama, then he gives up Gayatri. Why? Gayatri is resolved into Omkara. Om Bhurbhuvasvaha Tatsavitruvareenyam goes into Akara. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi enters into Ukara. Dhyoyona Prachodayate enters into Makara. Therefore, no more Gayatri for sannyasi. What happened now? Om. Gayatri is replaced by Om for a sannyasi. But others should chant Omkara with other mantras. Why? Pujya Swamiji says, mere pranava upas japaha, without addition of anything, merely chanting the Omkaraha will result in great dispassion. A person become highly, highly dispassionate. So young people who are in the families and all that, they should not shirk their responsibilities and duties and run away to ashrams and somewhere. No, it's not good. Isn't it? They should not become disinterested in their day-to-day life. They should have some hold. That is why Mihir Omkara should not be chanted by others. Is it clear now? We had to become one. Sannyasi means you are already much dispassionate, and now you take care of your dispassion all the time. No. That is why Omkara, Pranava Japa. Therefore, may you meditate upon Omkaraha. Therefore, Omkara Upasanam Kuru. Omkaram Upasita. Pranavam Upasita. That is the teaching implied. So with this, here I want to tell you one thing. Look at, if you see, Jnanakanda is for Sannyasi. So Sannyasi also chants only Omkaraha. And before Sannyasa, Vanaprastha Ashramaha. What does he chant? Vanaprastha Ashramaha can be associated with what? Upasanam. Therefore, Upasanam, when you say Upasana Kanda, Omkaraha is used, means what now? Vanaprasthi also makes use of Omkara for Upasanam. A sannyasi uses Omkara for Nididhyasanam. A grihastha associated with performance of rituals, he is also what now? Using Omkaraha in day-to-day rituals, worship. And a brahmanaha, a brahmachari, brahmacharya ashrama also is Omkaraha used. So, people of all the ashramas involved in different types of activities, adhyenam karma, shastra adhyenam, shastra study, he is also what now? Involved in shastra study, he is also uttering Omkara. He also uses Omkara. Agrastashrami, involved in rituals, he is also using Omkara. And Vanaprasthi, who is involved in Upasanam, supposed to be involved in Upasanam, he is also using Omkara. A sannyasi, who is only supposed to be contemplative, also using Omkara. So, Omkara is used by all the people of all ashramas in all everywhere. That is the greatness of Omkara. There is nothing greater than Omkara. Om, Om, Om itself is what now cleanses everything. Therefore, that is why in our temples and everywhere, any archana we do, we begin with Omkara. Om Shiva, Om Keshava, Yanamaha, Om Govinda, Yanamaha, Om Madhava, Yanamaha, Om Madhusudana, Yanamaha, Om Trivikrama, Yanamaha, Om Rishikesha, Yanamaha. Any nama we say, Om. Every temple. Understand? Okay. This is Omkara Upasana is over. So next, yeah.
When the Vanaprasthi can use Om for Upasana, does that Om have to be within another self?
Okay. No. Yeah. No, all other ashramas should have something else.
Yeah.
That means before beginning anything, Om. And then next thing comes, how long should the take to say Omkara? Now, one more thing I have to tell you in this connection. Now you know how you learned lots of things about Omkara here, about Omkara Upasanam. Before, when you understood the glorification of Omkara, you understood so many things. And how long should it take to utter Omkara? You should not exceed 3 matra kala. Okay, Om. You have to prolong it. Oh, no. Om. Only 3 matra kala it should take. Only 3 sounds are there. Whenever you begin anything with Omkara, it should take 3 matra kala. When you end, it can take 4 matra kala. Harihi Om Tat Sat. When you want to end, it can take 4 matras. When you begin, or wherever you chant, it should not take more than 3 matra kala.
What about Om is owned for the sannyasins if you just chant only the Om?
Yeah.
It's same thing.
Om should take 3 matra kala. Om, 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 Om. And actually, I can tell you about little of the Nidhyasanam, but I'll do it next class. I want to tell something about the Upasanam.
It's wrong there.
Yes. Yeah, it's wrong. See, the thing is, we are very conscious of not hurting others' feelings. With some Shraddha, they're chanting Om. So we don't say anything. At least they're saying Om. But if it has to be effective, at least let us not. If the people are very close to you, intimate to you, they don't mind accepting what you're saying. See, I do not know everything. I heard this much very clearly from people who know the things. They say you should not take more than 3 matra kala. You can tell them if they listen to you. If they feel offended or something, then better. They are very close to you, you cannot tell them. Now, because, isn't it? That is the problem. So we have to. People don't understand it.
After some time, people forget also. You can tell them, and then after a few days.
Amma, what I'm saying.
Then you forget and you can't keep on telling people.
No, what happens? No, that is not keep on telling, Amma. They should make, they've made it a point. See, Vedamantra study means very serious study. When they study, they're very serious about it. Now, once, okay, this is not the right thing. There's no question of forgetting. Why they forget? Because what has become a habit now?
Habit, yeah.
See, wrong things have to be corrected. You see, once they correct it, now you should remember all the time, no, I should not chant like this. The thing is, that's what I'm saying. If the people are very understanding is there, then you can tell them. Otherwise, you can't tell. Isn't it? We can't, that's what I'm saying. People are close to you, and then if they accept you, and they don't feel offended, if they think that you are telling them only right, with a good intention of telling, then take it. Because the Shastra rules and regulations are such, the Omkara consists of only 3 sounds, which should take only 3 matra kala. At the conclusion, ending, it can take 4 matras. Otherwise, only 3 matra kala. The traditional Achi teachers say that. Anyway, at least we'll take care. At least we are here, so we will take care of our class. We'll just not go and tell other people. If possible, we can tell. Okay. And so not only Upasanam is important, it's also very important to take care of, you know, the karma also contributes a lot, isn't it? So that's, the next portion is going to be discussing, this is Swadhyayaha and Pravachanam. We are going to understand the 2 very important things. We'll see in the next class.